Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Make sure to go to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support this podcast and all the work we do. And you'll get access to exclusive uncensored segments from Timcast IRL and way more. Now, let's jump into the first story. You are the definition of weakness. Everything that is wrong with the world is because of effing you. Sean Strickland has done what we were hoping he would do, rip the press apart, call out wokeness, and I will say, he goes a little bit harder than I would, and a lot of people are saying the pendulum has swung in the other direction. You know, we're fairly moderate individuals, so we have our criticisms of wokeness and of many people who push bad ideas which can harm children and racist ideas and things like this. Sean Strickland is an MMA champ, a UFC champ. He does not pull punches. He goes right for the throat. You are an infection. Sean Strickland goes off on Woke Reporter. And now I will start off by saying this, my friends. With the Bud Light boycott, I was saying we need to declare victory. Why? This is why. Because Sean Strickland does not pull his punches. And now the pressure, the campaign that has been ongoing for some time over the Bud Light boycott, the pressure campaign is to force Bud Light to either accept or reject what Sean Strickland has said. The reason being, Bud Light's in serious trouble. It is not just about Sean Strickland. It's not just about their sales dropping. They are facing a potential strike. Apparently 99% of their union employees have voted to strike, and they are in serious trouble. So much so that it's being reported Bud Light could soon disappear from the shelves because not just the boycott, but because of the strike, which may happen. Now, I got to tell you, this is the next step. Now, I do think it's fair to say, if we're trying to make an actual argument and be reasonable people and win this one, many would say Sean Strickland went a little too hard. But that's a point I've brought up. It's the big ask. It's the pendulum swing. By all means, there are many people that are anti-Bud Light, anti-woke, that are like, he's going a little hard on this one. But that's the big ask. Now, we tell people, guys, we are trying to keep things rational and stable, but this is exactly what will happen if you keep going after people's children. It's an amazing clip. And Sean Strickland, you know, you've got these woke outlets attacking him, calling him homophobic and misrepresenting what he said. They're claiming he said trans people are an infection. No. He's talking to a reporter who supports Trudeau, or he assumes supports Trudeau, because Trudeau is seizing bank accounts. He tells the guy he's weak. He didn't say trans people. But here's where we're at. Bud Light is facing a massive, or I should say Anheuser-Busch, is facing a workers' strike. And this could mean Bud Light is off the shelves. Why? The employees want to make more money. Why aren't they making more money? Because y'all boycotted them. Okay. Now you may be sitting there saying, but Tim, you said we won and the boycott's off. Let me explain. I don't know if I said it exactly like that. Kid Rock said the boycott's over. Joe Rogan bought a bunch of Bud Light. Bud Light sponsored UFC. Sean Strickland said, I can't wait to fix you. I'm going to save you, Bud Light. And now it is on you to make the next move. if we are going to win this culture war. What I mean by that is, if you were to say right now, Bud Light, you're done, we will never buy your product, sure. The woke left would absolutely love that, because the last thing they want to do is bring up a fight right now after what Sean Strickland said. The point I'm making is not to literally celebrate Bud Light, but to force Anheuser-Busch to respond to what Sean Strickland said. So I want to give a shout out to Sean for one. Outside of any woke, anti-woke, whatever, outside of any politics, the man is speaking his mind because he's a champ, he's tough, and this is what MMA fighters tend to be like. Dude, if you're someone who fights for a living, what do you fear? This guy is not even carved out of stone, he's molded from steel. Okay, you've got people who get punched in the face for a living. You're not going to get them to drop to their knees for you like some of these other athletes will. So this guy speaking his mind, I got tremendous respect. Not only that, I'm really excited to watch this guy fight. I think everybody should support UFC 297. Watch Sean Strickland, the champ, defend his title, because we want UFC to know when guys look. I know some people, to be fair, I mean, most people probably don't, but there's some people who are probably like, I think he's going a little hard. Yeah, maybe. And you don't have to agree with him, but you can agree with him standing up for what he believes in, calling out the establishment, calling out weakness and wokeness. I say we all go watch that fight this Saturday. Support the UFC fight. Let's make this one record viewership. Now, I don't know if I have the influence to actually command such a thing, and UFC is widely popular already. But I want to say this about Bud Light. I'll play the clip of what Sean said, because you got to hear this stuff. It's amazing. Though a bit harsh, to be completely honest. I wouldn't take that approach, but more power to Sean for doing so. He is being himself. I only ask that everyone actually be themselves and speak up for what they believe in. But here's my point on Bud Light. If you were to come out right now and put pressure on Bud Light saying, and I tweeted this, thank you, Bud Light, for bringing us this message. If you were to come out and say that, Bud Light has to answer for it. And they don't want to. You see, a lot of people are like, Bud Light thinks that they can sponsor UFC and that we're going to go out and buy their beer again. They do. They really do. Dana White gave an interview where he's like, you know, Bud Light does more for us. And if you're a patriot, you got to go out and buy Bud Light, buy a whole bunch of it. Okay. Then I want to make sure it's clear that Sean Strickland and everything he said, thanks to UFC and thanks to Bud Light, I want to make sure it's clear that we expect a response from Anheuser-Busch. The woke left knows that if Anheuser-Busch has to address the things he said, they will collapse worse than they've ever collapsed. They can't come out and go back on board the woke train. They're trying to downplay everything. Sean has just lit a figurative fire underneath them. And if everyone just says, don't know, don't care, screw Bud Light, fine. Bud Light is trying to hide. They're posting, they put up a tweet being like, sponsoring UFC. Okay, Bud Light, what do you have to say about what Sean Strickland said? The woke left knows that Bud Light is in a weak position after the boycott, and they cannot make any moves. So if the woke left comes out and says, we hereby condemn Sean Strickland, we want to protest and boycott, you know, the UFC and Bud Light, Bud Light's going to be like, we cannot afford another controversy. So y'all need to give it to him. That's what I'm saying. If we were to tweet right now, thank you, Bud Light, for bringing us this fight and for sponsoring the message of Sean Strickland, Bud Light's going to go, oh, crap. What do we do? Make sure Bud Light knows what it means to sponsor UFC by thanking them for sponsoring a message like this. I'll say it again. Sean goes hard. He goes harder than I would. And I think if we were to sit down and have a rational conversation, like just, you know, like me and him, I'd say calling a guy an infection and stuff like this, it goes a little hard. We're trying to convince people. So I think there's some fair criticism. However, I'd say this is what we need. This is what we need. While I may not agree with how he says things and what he calls people, we need people to speak up for what they believe in. Now, of course, they're calling it all hate speech. No. I'm gonna pause you right there. We don't got to be mean to trans people. I think these are people who are suffering. But this guy's not calling trans people names. He's calling woke people names. So don't play that. People, what the left is trying to do, this is what we have for the pink news. They say Sean Strickland thinks being trans is an infection. That's not what he said. He called the reporter who supported Trudeau seizing bank accounts an infection. See, that's the game. They're trying to manipulate what's being said. But you know what? I'll take it. The pink news saying this about Sean Strickland, Bud Light, you're in serious trouble. I guarantee you Bud Light will do everything in their power to try and avoid addressing what was said by Sean Strickland, the moment you've been waiting for. Let me show you some of the quotes. Actually, let me play the video for you. A lot of swearing here, so keep that in mind. But I'll show you what he says.
We've got a pretty supportive gay and lesbian community in this city. I did want to ask you about something you wrote a couple of years ago. You said if I had a...
I'll also point out, every other word out of Sean's mouth is the F word.
Gay son.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, that's 877-646-5347.
And I would think
another each time saying to you, the swamp, you guys, the swamp.
You become a champion, you become a star, and some would say.
Let me ask you something. Are you gay?
Are you gay? Can I get an answer?
Well, no, I'm asking. This is a part of. Are you a gay man?
I'm an ally of the community.
Okay. If you had a son and he was like, you know, you had a son, he was gay, you'd be like, oh man, you don't want a grandkid?
No problem with it.
Oh man, well, dude, you're a weak fucking man, dude. You're like, you're part of the fucking problem. You elected Justin Trudeau. Like, would you fucking, when he sees the bank accounts, like, you're just fucking pathetic. And the fact that you have no fucking backbone, and has he shut down your fucking country and seized bank accounts, you ask me some stupid shit like that, go fuck yourself. Move the fuck on, man.
That's it right there. There's more to this. I'll play it in a second. But this is what he's talking about with you're being weak and you're an infection. People, he says, if your kid was gay, you wouldn't want grandkids. Well, you're a weak man. What he's saying is, and he says, okay. He's saying, dude, you don't want to have kids. You don't have grandkids. You're weak. Okay, that fair point. What is he talking about, the infection and all this? I'll play more. These people stood back and watched as Trudeau and these authoritarian pieces of trash stole money from working class people who were upset that their lives were being destroyed. That's what he's calling out. But I will play more because he does go hard.
That doesn't really answer the question, but I
want to ask some
things you said about the trans community. You said this past October when they announced the Bud Light sponsorship that you'd go so hard on Bud Light in your next fight, they'll have to accept me or denounce me when they know what they stand for.
This Canadian's not that Canadian.
Are you still going to use your fight time to kind of speak on that?
Here's the thing about Bud Light. 10 years ago, to be trans was a mental fucking illness. And now all of a sudden, people like you have fucking weaseled your way into the world. You are an infection. You are the definition of weakness. Everything that is wrong with the world is because of fucking you. And the best thing is the world's not buying it. The world's not buying your fucking bullshit you're fucking peddling. The world is not saying, you know what? You're right. Fucking chicks have dicks. The world's not saying that. The world's saying, no, there are two genders. I don't want my kids being taught about, you know, who they could fuck in school. I don't want my kids being taught about you know, their sexual preference. Like, dude, this guy is the fucking enemy. You want to look at the fucking enemy to our world? It's that motherfucker right there.
He did not say being trans was an infection. He didn't say that. They're lying. He said a weak man who weasels his way in and is causing problems is the enemy. Now, look, you know, Ian Crossland brought this point up the other night on Timcast IRL. I think it's fair. I'll give him some criticism, but I like Strickland. I think he's doing great work. Super excited to watch Saturday. But pointing to a guy and saying he's the enemy is dangerous. It is. And I know a lot of people agree with it. And it is what it is. I'm just saying I wouldn't play it like that. I want to clarify something else, too. Sean Strickland says 10 years ago to be trans was what, a mental illness? Now people like him have weaseled their way into this. First, Sean, I'd like to issue a clarification for you. Still, to this day, gender dysphoria is listed in the DSM-5, the diagnostic for whatever the acronym means. I'll pull it up for you because I think it's only appropriate to give you the actual breakdown. But this is the list of mental disorders. It is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition. Gender dysphoria is in it. Let me see. The renaming and reconceptualizing of gender identity disorder to gender dysphoria was what the DSM-5 did. I'm not trying to be a dick to trans people. In fact, we have a lot of friends who are trans. I don't think this guy is talking about trans people. I don't think Sean Strickland is insulting every single trans person. I think he's talking about, look, the DSM-5 lists a whole bunch of disorders, gender dysphoria being one of them. It is literally and academically called a mental disorder. Now, personally, I think it's funny because you're not allowed to call people mentally ill if they're trans. That's a YouTube thing. But they say you're supposed to call it a mental disorder. I think that's more insulting, YouTube. You know, just my opinion. I think you don't like trans people. But no, I'm half kidding here. The issue is there are many things listed in the DSM-5 that we can bring up. Perhaps PICA. No one's ever going to come out and say we need PICA affirming care. Do you know what PICA is? It's when people crave to eat non-food items. I've read stories about people who eat hair. They are driven to chew and eat hair. It's called PICA, P-I-C-A. It is listed in the DSM-5, just like gender dysphoria is. Now, gender dysphoria can result in behaviors that will cause harm to a person, up to and including suicide, and we don't want that to happen. You know, a lot of people want to go online. They want to be mean. They want to make fun of people that are suffering and stuff like that. No, I don't think that's, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. And Sean's not doing that. Sean's calling out a man who is basically saying, this guy, this reporter that he's calling out, these are the kind of people that will look at an anorexic woman and be like, it's totally fine. She's being her true self. It's like, no, we don't want you to be hurt. So you get these kids who are suffering gender dysphoria, not, and many of them aren't even actually suffering gender dysphoria. They're experiencing that there's a couple different kinds that I would describe. There's the, I do believe that there's an inherent dysphoria that exists that can exist within people. And I think that's what you'd find in the DSM-5. But there are also social pressures where people are just saying these things. We see this a lot. These are the kind of guys that pressure kids into hurting themselves. We don't want that. We don't want any of that. And I'm not just talking about dysphoria. I'm talking about literally any other disorder. Imagine a kid is eating pennies and he says, I want to eat pennies. And so people like this reporter go, well, you know, we shouldn't tell a kid. The kid knows what food he needs, right? So we're going to let him do it. The kid would die if he ate pennies. They want to put these kids on drugs, which have a high likelihood of sterilizing them. That is weakness. That is infection. Not the kid who's suffering. Not, you know, this is what I don't like about the ragging on trans people. Okay. I want to defend my trans friends here and make a point that I think most of you will agree with. When we're looking at kids who are suffering gender dysphoria and are posting things online and they're saying weird things like they're ZZMZer and they want mastectomies, I feel for these kids and these teenagers and young adults. I don't hate them. I want compassion for them. These are kids who are suffering from what is in the DSM-5 as a mental disorder, gender dysphoria. Not all of them. That's a weird thing they're saying now. But in many ways, peer pressure and other things are harming them. And they're asking for help. And I think we got to give them help. in whatever form we can. Now, if you look to Europe, you can see they're doing away with a lot of these gender-affirming surgeries, and this is what they call it, child sex changes. I blame the reporter, just like Sean Strickland does. This weak man who, instead of standing up and saying, sometimes the treatment you need is a harsh reality and we're going to save you. Instead, these weak men say, yeah, by all means, just indulge in your mental disorder. If someone is morbidly obese and they're eating themselves to death, it is cruelty to goad them on. If someone is anorexic and they're starving themselves to death, it is cruelty to goad them on. If someone is suffering gender dysphoria and they are begging for help and you advocate for medical procedures which could sterilize them, you are an advocate for transgenocide. So I want to make sure this is very as clear as I can make it. When I see a person who is trans, my criticisms of them are only in character, not in them having suffered some mental disorder or a dysphoric experience or whatever. That is to say, you know, apologies to Blair White for always being the example, but Blair White being a really good person, a good friend, and a smart, inquisitive, intelligent individual, I have absolutely zero issue with Blair being trans. I want Blair to be better, to be happy, and to live a fulfilling life. I certainly think there are solutions to the issues of gender dysphoria that are better than what is being proposed in the medical community. Some solutions that I've seen proposed by medical experts is not cross-sex hormones, but actual hormone therapy, meaning if there is a male who is identifying as female, give them testosterone. A female identifying as male, give them estrogen. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers for you. But I don't blame the trans people when woke far leftists come out and advocate for things that can cause harm to them. This reporter, I'm an ally. That's what he said. And Sean Strickland calls him out. This guy is not LGBTQ. This guy is just someone who's blindly marching in lockstep with people who are sick and need help. And, it is what it is. Anorexia is a sickness. These are the kind of people that go to them and goad them on. So I want to make sure I stress this. You know, when we see there was that YouTuber who was anorexic, we're all begging for someone to help her. She needs to eat. She's being abused. We feel compassion for her. Even though she's going online and saying things like, I'm totally fine and I can do this. The same is true for trans people or anyone else who's suffering a disorder listed in the DSM-5. We want them to be better. We want them to be happy and to feel good. The argument from many of these, so I'll say this. You can be a good person or a bad person, be trans. You can be a good person, bad person, be gay. You can be a good person, bad person, be anorexic, morbidly obese, or eating your own hair. If I look to Blair White and Blair says kids should not be going through this stuff, then I say I think Blair is trying to do the right thing. I don't take issue with Blair. I think Blair is a fantastic person. And I take a look at someone else who may be trans advocating for children to undergo these therapies. I say that person is a bad person, irrespective of them being trans. I'm a fairly libertarian-minded individual. But I wanted to stress that, too, because I think Sean hit it out of the park. I also do want to make sure I get this in, because this is the big news. The boycott is staring us in the...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Nice. We must ask ourselves, my friends, what is our next move? Many people say they want Anheuser-Busch to collapse. They want Bud Light to cease existing. Well, you're about to get your wish. There won't be any beer come March. Anheuser-Busch workers are threatening to strike. They want more money. They want better pay. That ain't going to happen so long as people aren't buying Bud Light. Make Bud Light answer for what Sean Strickland is saying. Keep the pressure campaign on. Thank them for sponsoring UFC. You got to put it in their court. You got to say, hey, Bud Light. You know, I'm not saying you buy their beer, but this is the next step in the campaign. Bud Light. Do you support what Sean Strickland said about that weak man, that ally, whatever, being an infection? That is one heck of a statement. I wouldn't put it that way. But a lot of people would. Bud Light, what do you say? Denounce him. I dare you. If Bud Light comes out and denounces Sean Strickland, the champ, right before the big fight, they're done. The boycott only gets worse from there. More people are going to call them out. They're going to mock them for trying to pull a fast one by sponsoring UFC. And the fight is this Saturday. They can't handle the pressure. It's possible that with this strike, there won't be any beer come March. Yo, this could be the end that you've all been hoping for Bud Light. Now, look, I'll tell you this. The long-term benefit for us and any kind of victory is that Bud Light continues to exist. I don't know, hear me out. But overtly supports our values and American values. 100%. You want to seize control of the institutions. We do not want to burn them to the ground. We want the power for ourselves. You know, there are a lot of people who say Bud Light should cease to exist. And I'm like, what if Bud Light instead just ran campaigns all the time, playing Sean Strickland's tape, saying this is what we agree with and believe in? You'd be like, wow, this is really good. It's very influential and it's pushing our cultural values and views. You want to own the battlefield of Bud Light, not raise it. But it'll be interesting. Shout out to Sean Strickland. And I think it's the pendulum swing, right? More and more people are going to speak up, and they're going to speak up more and more fiercely because they're going to follow behind thought leaders and champs like Sean Strickland. Now, what do I want? Compassion, reasonableness, rationality, reasonable behavior. And I think if the left goes to war with their woke crackpot ideas, the pendulum will swing in a way that they won't like. But hey, man, this is one of the most famous athletes in the world. One of the biggest events so far of this year. I know it's only a couple weeks, but this is UFC 297. Is it 297? No, it's 298. What am I doing over here? Is it 298, isn't it? Did I say 297? 297 was the last one. It's blocked over here. Let me see if I can see it. No, it is seven. It is seven. Yeah, six was the last one, right? Let me just double check. Because 298. Yeah, it's 297. 298's the next one. We're excited for this. This thing's multi-million dollars. If YouTube stands against popular culture, then revenues are going to drop. If Bud Light stands against popular culture, revenues are going to drop. This is it. Winning the culture war. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. The GOP primary is effectively over. Many are speculating that Nikki Haley will drop out when she fails to secure her home state of South Carolina. Ron DeSantis has already fled. He's abandoned New Hampshire, hoping to try and muster up some kind of win in South Carolina. But the Never Back Down super PAC that was supporting Ron DeSantis is laying people off. Now we have this report from Politico. The GOP is already clashing over Trump's VP pick. While Trump tries to sew up the nomination, his camp is already feuding about his future running mate and hoping it isn't Nikki Haley. That's it. The primary now is a joke. There's no point in having one. There was never a point in having one. And, you know, I am a little reluctant to make the claim Trump has already won because you don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's fair to say that Trump is at 80-95%. Nikki Haley maybe gets some weird upset because Democrats rushed to come out to the primaries and vote. It's just not likely. Right now, with the way Nikki Haley is polling, even with a surge of Democrat cross voters trying to sabotage the machine, she can't win. And boy, is the news coming out of the DeSantis campaign absolutely sad. Talk about political suicide, career ending. Ron DeSantis, he had everything laid out before him. He had the opportunity to be the heir to MAGA, but he decided to burn it all down. He hired some of the worst people imaginable in politics, destroyed his career, and is now a footnote. Yeah, while he's out here campaigning, Florida is dealing with a lot of issues. People have been complaining about quite a bit, notably last week, the state of emergency and flooding. I'm hearing constantly about the high insurance rates related to such things. But Ron DeSantis, of course, he's going to be out campaigning because he wants to be your president. Don't worry, my friends. You know, when Ron DeSantis is president, well, that's not going to happen. But if he was, he'd fly off to some distant land for some political agenda unrelated to you as you suffer as an American citizen. The big come down. DeSantis has abandoned New Hampshire. Well, I want to talk to you about Trump's VP pick, because when the media is already coming out and saying the big fight now is who will be Trump's VP, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis should drop out. Vivek Ramaswamy already said it. The writing on the wall is clear. There is no reason for any of these people to be running. But let's do this. While we are seeing Ron DeSantis abandon New Hampshire, we are seeing his super PAC laying people off. These are the people who are running the war room, posting all the silly memes and the AI garbage. And we're gonna rip into this and talk about why Trump is winning, what could happen this year. The New York Times reports, shakeup by a desperate DeSantis opens wider path for Haley in New Hampshire. They say, straining to recover after a bruising defeat in Iowa, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida and his allies moved on Wednesday to shake up his operation yet again, with his super PAC carrying out layoffs and the campaign signaling that it would largely bypass New Hampshire's primary election next week in favor of competing in South Carolina. The change in strategy appeared to set up the one-on-one contest in New Hampshire that Nikki Haley has been hoping for against former President Donald J. Trump, who leads in the polls but is more vulnerable in the moderate state than in the socially conservative Iowa. At the same time, the shift could put new pressure on Ms. Haley in South Carolina, where she once served as governor. The maneuvering may not ultimately make much of a dent in a race in which Mr. Trump has dominated polling, won the Iowa caucuses Monday by a staggering 30 points, and spent Wednesday in court for one of his many legal cases where a judge threatened to kick him out. Oh, geez, man, the layering on of the evil to stop Donald Trump. Here we go. As Mr. DeSantis' team licked its wounds on Wednesday, his super PAC never backed down, trimmed operations in several places, including Nevada. Other staff members were also laid off, including almost the entire online war room team, a person with knowledge of the matter said. Those who were cut had their email accounts immediately suspended. It was unclear how many people in all lost their jobs. Now, I got to tell you the challenge we face here. We just did the Iowa caucuses, Timcast IRL. We're there. We hit people up. We say, how would you like to come on the show on the day of the caucuses? And we love the guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. He said he'd love to come on the show. We could not have predicted that he was going to drop out immediately, because my understanding was Vivek's whole pitch was that they will stop at nothing to remove Donald Trump and he cannot leave the race. It's a good point. If Nikki Haley's the only one left because Trump gets arrested, then we're in trouble. But of course, when Vivek was supposed to appear on our show, he didn't. And it's obvious. He didn't hit the numbers he wanted to hit. He wasn't even competitive. After all the hard work he did, with respect, he decided to drop out and endorse Donald Trump. Now, this whole news cycle, I'm sorry, it's fake. I feel like we are wasting our time, and I honestly struggled to even produce this segment, because as I'm reading more and more that Nikki Haley, that there's speculation she's already planning to drop out once she fails in South Carolina, which seems very, very obvious and very likely, and Ron DeSantis' super PAC is already laying people off, and DeSantis has abandoned New Hampshire? Let me repeat that. He's abandoned it. He's done. Drop out now. For what reason are you going to try and win any other state? So as I'm sitting here putting together this news, it is frustrating. You see, I have options. I got a bunch of stories I can talk about. Dating. There's a video going viral of a woman shaking her butt in a gym and offending people. Yeah, we can talk about those cultural issues, but I want to hit the deep news subjects for my 1 p.m. segment. And it is a fraud. It is an act of fraud on the American people to pretend that there is a GOP primary at this point. And so, my friends, as we prepare for our events and the on-the-ground shows we plan on doing, March 5th, Super Tuesday, for the GOP primary, we are planning a big event. I mean, big, like 50 seats, get a sponsor. And the only problem is, it's very likely that before that even happens, in the end of February, when Nikki Haley fails in South Carolina, there won't be a Super Tuesday. For what purpose will there be any primary or caucus after this when there's no one left running? Okay, fine. Fair point. You got some other, I think Binkley is his name, is still running. I don't know. I got no beef with the guy. I don't know him. But come on. Is this really where we are going? Ron DeSantis has not only abandoned New Hampshire. Take a look at this from Forbes. Here are all the prominent conservatives telling DeSantis to drop out. The crazy thing? The Wall Street Journal told Ron DeSantis to drop out so that it could be Trump v. Haley. Oh, man. Look, I hope and I pray that I'm right about this. I mean, some of the details will probably be a little bit wrong, but I'm hoping this is all just one big facade. Nikki Haley and Ron want to rack up some cash. Now, for Nikki Haley, you know, I don't blame her for running. What was her political career? She was never really hardcore MAGA or anything like that. So where was she going to go? The Democratic Party? Ron DeSantis, however, had the whole world at his fingertips. And we are lucky, my friends. I want you to count your blessings as to how lucky you really are that Ron DeSantis decided to run for president. It's funny because a lot of people say to me, they're like, Tim, if Ron didn't run and just led Florida and defended Trump and backed him and endorsed him, he would be the guy for 2028. And we are, it's a shame. I say, no, it is not a shame. We're lucky. If Ron didn't run, we would think he was a good leader. Yeah. So now you can take a look at how Ron DeSantis has handled his campaign. Christina Pichot, who runs DeSantis' campaign, was liked by a lot of people before he started running. And even we here at Timcast had discussed with her about having either her or Ron on the show. And they said, yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll do it at some point. And then Ron decided to just burn everything to the ground. Christina, of course, went nuts on social media, insulted, attacked, derided, offended. And so did the rest of Ron DeSantis' staff and his supporters. They were routinely ragged on for being insufferable. The most annoying, self-righteous people ever. And that burned Ron DeSantis down. Instead of firing the woman who was destroying everything, Christina Pichot, she remained. It's fascinating. If you go way back in time to the start of Ron's campaign, I was saying, you know, I don't know if I'm 50-50, right? And then the DeSantis War Room launched these fake AI ads of Trump hugging and kissing Fauci. And I said, that's it. I'm done. You need to apologize for this and maybe I'll consider it. They refused. They said no. They have a right to make fake stuff. So I am so happy to see evil fail. Oh, I mean, there's the banality of evil in many actions and many individuals. But the DeSantis campaign knowingly produced fake news to trick Trump supporters into voting for Ron DeSantis. And it brings me great schadenfreude to watch him fail and to see this message from Christina Pichot saying she's not going to work in politics again. She wouldn't want to. She only wanted to work for DeSantis. Good riddance to one of the worst campaign staff imaginable. Gone. And we're lucky, though, because we got to witness just how bad of a leader Ron DeSantis really is. And I can already hear all, you know, it's just, without saying anybody's names, there are prominent personalities who are posting, we could have had Ron. We could have had Ron. He's a failure. Man. You know, there are some people I often wonder how it is they've made it this far in terms of working in politics. How did you think what Ron DeSantis was doing with his campaign was good in any way, popular, and going to generate positive attention or press or lead to his success? It's really fascinating. You see, you know, my friends, I pride myself on being able to see far enough ahead to make the appropriate, adequate moves by which I can succeed. That means I'm wrong a lot. I fall into a lot of pit traps, but less so than others trying to run businesses. There are sometimes where I'm wrong, and I have to issue corrections. Issued a couple corrections just last week. It's been rough. And it happens. It happens. But looking at what was going on with the DeSantis campaign and its failures, almost immediately, when I see that they're attacking Trump supporters, I'm like, this guy's burning himself to the ground. Producing fake images of Trump was a moral line they crossed, and they didn't care. And I said, no campaign lacking competence is going to be able to defeat Donald Trump. I don't even understand how someone could consider that to be a reality. Donald Trump is such a massive presence. He walks in the room and you feel like a magnetic force is blowing you away. You can feel his aura pressing against you as you struggle to stand in his presence. I'm kidding, by the way. My point is, when Trump walks in the room, it makes an impact. Ron DeSantis' people thought they could go up against him while being this bad at what they do. And don't get me wrong, shout out to Nikki Haley. But at least her whole pitch is some kind of, I don't know, make money off the GOP nomination process. Maybe she'll try and be VP. I really doubt it. But many people have pointed out that there's a probability Nikki Haley is the VP. And I'm not going to play any hyper-partisan games. I understand the argument being made for a Haley president, for a vice presidency. I also think it's fair to say that when Tucker Carlson says he will campaign against you, and everyone else is saying, if you pick Nikki Haley, you're going to need a food taster, Donald Trump. Yeah. One of the worst possible moves Trump could make would be to make Nikki Haley his vice president. But the reason I say I'm not going to play any stupid games and just be like, Nikki Haley bad, oh, no matter what. She is bad, okay? But that's not what I mean. There is a practical purpose to choosing a VP you hate, and that is to attract voters who hate you. I know, right? Listen, if Trump were to pick Vivek Ramaswamy, he's going to win over us, the internet, and the libertarians. Does Trump want those votes? I think he does. Libertarian voters don't like Republicans, but if the Republicans were to get all the libertarian votes, they would win every time. With a Vivek Ramaswamy VP, calls for no CBDC, no ATF, no FBI. Donald Trump has already now, after Vivek Ramaswamy endorsed him, Trump came out and said there will be no central bank digital currency. Huge. A lot of libertarians may decide, I'm going to vote for the guy. Now, of course, not the hardcore staunch libertarians. They'll vote for their party. They like their party. I get that. But that's a play. Ron DeSantis is not. Ron is incompetent. Just abject incompetence. He lacks charisma. He can't pitch ideas properly. It is abysmal. But the most important reason why, the most important thing I say is why he's incompetent is the people he hired. Listen, we can complain about the people Trump hired. You betcha. And they're bad people, but he ended up getting rid of them. Ron DeSantis, how he did not fire Christina Pichot right away. It was plain. It was plainly obvious that you got to fire this lady. You got to get rid of her right now. She is burning your campaign to the ground. And Ron's like, well, I don't care. I'll just burn to the ground. Oh, there you go. Congratulations, buddy. Your whole campaign burned to the ground because you would not fire someone who couldn't do the job properly. Yeah, great. Who should Trump pick as VP? That's the big question right now. And it's the feud, they say. The Politico reports the fiercest Republican campaign isn't taking place between the presidential hopefuls in Iowa or New Hampshire, but rather in the backstage fight over who would be Trump's running mate, or to the point, who will not be Trump's pick. As Nikki Haley emerges as the former president's most formidable, Nikki Haley emerges most formidable opponent in the coming states and toughens her rhetoric. Her Trump world foes are intensifying their own efforts to block her from the consolation prize of the vice presidency. Haley's critics have privately warned Trump that were he to make Haley first in line for the presidency, he'd effectively be setting himself up for an intra-party coup, as GOP senators would use any legal or political pretext to remove him from office and elevate the more old guard aligned Haley. Nikki Haley as VP would be an establishment neocon fantasy and a MAGA nightmare. On day one, she would convert the Naval Observatory into an anti-Trump resistance headquarters, undermining him at every step. Yeah, worse than that. But let's be real. Regardless of what happens, I think it's very likely Nikki Haley will be working against Trump and working with Democrats. Why? Because she's already working against Trump and working with Democrats. So nothing else need be said. Ron is all over the place. I don't even know what that guy's doing. Tucker Carlson seems like an obvious pick for Donald Trump. Everybody seems to like the guy. However, Tucker has said he wouldn't want to do it, and he doesn't have government experience. So Trump is, he's in a rock and a hard place. Between a rock and a hard place. Who does he pick? Some have said Kristi Noem. Yeah, she could. I don't know if she has the name recognition. Vivek Ramaswamy seems like the most logical pick right now. If he picks Nikki Haley, Tucker Carlson says he will be against him. But as I stated before, there is a logical reason to why they would consider Nikki Haley. As much as everyone's groaning and saying, no, they hate her. No, don't get me wrong. I get it. Nikki Haley is Hillary Clinton. But the reason why Trump may actually consider Haley? Because she attracts other voters. The question is, who are you trying to attract? I suppose the argument is there are many people who would vote for Nikki Haley, but not for Trump. And so Donald Trump is hoping that by choosing Haley, I'm not saying he is going to choose her, but many politicos are hoping that if Trump were to choose her, she would bring to the fold moderate Democrat types who would say, well, at least Nikki's there. I trust her. I am really fascinated why anybody would want Nikki Haley to be president, because when you listen to her speak, she ain't all there. But all that matters for many of these politicians is to sound like they are. The reality is this, my friends. The fact that we're sitting here debating if Nikki Haley is going to be Trump's VP proves the point. Ron has abandoned New Hampshire. His super PAC is firing people. The war room is shuttering. There's only a few people left. I don't know how many. Nikki Haley is her. We know she's entertaining the VP role. And in the media, they're arguing whether or not she will be. There is no literal consideration for either of these people to be the nominee. Thus, it's plainly obvious. It's over. The primary is over. You wasted our time. You wasted our money. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy said the play was to get Nikki Haley to win. And maybe. I think that is a strong play. Why won't Democrats replace Joe Biden? Because Nikki Haley is the real opportunity for them in the GOP primary. But you know what? They couldn't beat that either. So guess what? They'll take their consolation prize. And you know what that prize is? Draining Republican resources to the best of their abilities. Running Trump through false rape trials or whatever. Defamation, fraud, etc. Forcing him to spend all of his time and energy not campaigning. And then make Republicans donate all their money to a waste of time nonsense. Okay, so what do we do? Well, my friends, we've got people reaching out saying we're really excited for the opportunity to be involved in your March 5th Super Tuesday event. And I'm looking forward to putting on a large March 5th Super Tuesday event. It's going to be in Martinsburg, West Virginia, most likely. Don't know for sure. But maybe in our building. It should be a private event. It'll likely be members only. But we'll still sell tickets. It's just got to be a member to buy the tickets because it's a private space. And I don't know what's going to happen. But the problem is we need months to plan these things. And I think any sane person at this point would realize there's no primary. There never was. It was a waste of time and money. So perhaps then our March 5th event will actually just be a live show hangout on a Tuesday. Okay, I guess. What Nikki Haley does after this? I don't know. Sky News Australia wrote that she's going to gracefully drop out to avoid losing in South Carolina. This would indicate that Nikki Haley will drop out before Ron DeSantis. She's going to get obliterated in New Hampshire. We presume, hey, you never know. Look, Democrats could show up in force and give Nikki Haley the win. But based on the polls, considering the polls tracked Iowa perfectly, we're likely going to see the same thing in New Hampshire. Trump will win. New Hampshire doesn't have that much to offer as it is in terms of delegates. And then why would Nikki Haley go to South Carolina and have her reputation destroyed in her home state? Think about how bad it's going to be. The 538 polling for South Carolina, man, I don't think I have, I don't have it pulled up here. I have the general polls, but Trump's winning. It's like 50%. He's winning. He's beating her by like 40 points. She's going to need to drop out before losing to Trump in that state where she calls home. Because it's going to be, it's already bad. The fact that so many people don't want to vote for her in her own state. Yikes. Ron's got a similar problem. I'm very interested to see if he makes it far enough to get to the point where they actually have the Florida primary, which let me pull this up. NBC primary schedule. Because I think Florida is Florida Super Tuesday? Seems like maybe not. Let's see. Florida is Florida Super Tuesday. It is not. It is not Super Tuesday. So let's Florida is going to be on the 19th of what month is this? Of March? Okay, yeah, the 19th of March is Florida's primary. I don't see Ron DeSantis making it that far. How embarrassing would it be for Ron to lose Florida to Donald Trump? And he will. There's no question. He will. Absolutely. So for what purposes are any of these people wasting our time? All right. Well, we're planning our Super Tuesday event. Get ready for it. It's going to be up members only at some point, like what, maybe within like a few weeks, there'll be tickets for sale, but it's not going to be open to the public. It's going to be a private members only thing. And it likely will not even be a Super Tuesday event. But it'll be funny because we're going to call it a Super Tuesday event. And then when it comes around and Trump's the actual nominee, we'll just call it like a Trump is the nominee already party or something. Sure. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. So there's a new show coming out on Amazon called Has Been Hotel. And I've watched some of the materials. I've watched a little bit of the pilot episode. It's got 92 million views on YouTube, and it's generating some buzz because more religious individuals, I'm not saying every single person, but there's some controversy around the premise of the show. That is to say, the show venerates demons. It actually uses a premise based in religious Abrahamic biblical teachings, corrupts them, as a lot of modern things do, and basically creates this premise where Lucifer was a playful trickster who was thrown out of heaven because he just wanted to have a good time, but the angels wanted order. So they cast him out, and then, you know, Lucifer goes down to Lilith. Yeah, Lilith, not Eve. Lilith, the first wife of Adam. Lilith, of course, was cast out because she would not listen to the man. That's literally what they say. And then Lucifer is like, here's knowledge. And they become demons. And then, you know, heaven's all pissed off. And so the show is, I would say, a corruption of biblical teaching. It's an obvious thing. It's a fictionalized show that uses biblical teaching to create characters, casts many demons in positive lights. But I think we should break down what this show is, because I find all of it very interesting. This show is not generating some kind of mass right-wing controversy or anything like that. There's not a bunch of Christians and Catholics condemning it. There's just some commentary talking about whether it's appropriate for kids, whether it will incidentally attract kids to learn the wrong things about the Bible or create misconceptions. And I think the bigger picture here is that this is popular. This is, it's got 92 million views. The creator on YouTube makes a bunch of these cartoons that are really well made and get tens of millions of hits, and people are watching this stuff. So the big takeaway from a show like this that basically, as they say, venerates demons, a lot of movies do, don't get me wrong, I think the point here is if you want to counter this and produce content that you think would do good things, you have to make good content, and you can't just sit here and complain about it. You need to push back and win the culture war. Now, I have this tweet here from Kryptos. I found it very interesting because he tweeted, "The propagandists are now actively making movies to promote the veneration of powerful demons, in this case, Lilith, the patron demon of feminism. Corporations like Amazon and its media arm Prime are working with the devil. They are the enemy." You know, I don't think it's the most important story in the world, but I do think it's rather interesting. What does it mean? Well, let me play for you the trailer, and I will comment and critique it. But I will start off by saying Sound of Freedom is not only available on Prime, it is actively promoted on Prime. So I was at a hotel or something. It might have been an Airbnb. And there was a hotel. And they had Prime available because I've been trying to watch Yu Yu Hakusho anime. And I turned it on and Sound of Freedom's there. And I'm like, this is awesome. Sound of Freedom actively promoted. I don't think Amazon saw this cartoon and thought, ooh, Satan and Lucifer, let's venerate demons. And I think taking this approach is actually going to be detrimental to the right and to those who want to give better messages to young people. For the average person who would find themselves as like atheist or whatever, they're not going to watch this and care at all about it. But I will say this, Christianity is having a hard go of it when shows like this misrepresent what the Bible's actually trying to teach people. And this will be the basis by which many people form their beliefs around these religions. I hear these complaints a lot, or conspiracy theories. They say that the Hollywood and the government, it's a conspiracy theory, by the way. They say Men in Black, for instance, they make these movies so that if you ever tried to actually tell someone that it happened, they wouldn't believe you. Let me give you a better example. After 9/11, there are people who reported that they were like lying in a, I think one person said they were lying in a hospital bed after being injured. They had witnessed things, and Men in Black showed up and told them they saw nothing and to shut it. And of course, the Men in Black doesn't mean alien fighting superstars. It meant guys in suits from an undisclosed intelligence agency were saying, don't repeat what you saw for national security reasons. And of course, they could just be FBI. It could be Pentagon intelligence. Men in Black doesn't mean aliens or anything like this, but the conspiracy theory goes, they make a movie called Men in Black, because then when you say some Men in Black showed up and threatened me, they go, oh, geez, you're a nut job. That was a movie. Okay, so maybe, I don't know, whatever, but that's the general conspiracy theory. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying some people claim these things. Now, let's play this trailer, and I'm sure a lot of Christians will get angry about it, and I think so, because the way it misrepresents the biblical teachings. Let's play.
Once upon a time, there was a glowing city protected by golden gates known as Heaven. It was ruled by beings of pure light, angels that worshipped good and shielded all from evil. Lucifer was one of these angels. He was a dreamer with fantastical ideas for all of creation, but he was seen as a troublemaker by the elders of Heaven, for they felt his way of thinking was dangerous to the order of their world. So he watched as the angels began to expand the universe in their ways. From the dust of earth, they created Adam and Lilith.
Okay, so I'll pause right there, and we'll talk about why people are upset. First, the angels did not create Adam and Lilith. And certainly Lilith, I don't even believe, is actually a part of biblical teachings. But I'm not some religious expert. But the point here is, right off the bat, the trailer is basically saying the established order is not all good. And trying to keep out this person's ideas, oh, how could they? The general idea that we've been seeing from the modern left is that the established order should be broken and destroyed. Now, I'm all for reform. You know, if some dude is throwing fireworks around or whatever, there may be a reason why the angels did not like what he was doing. Because he's throwing fireworks at people or throwing them in the air. It's like, dude, chill, man. I'd like to point this out. As they say, he was a dreamer
with fantastical ideas for all of creation.
And you see him throw fireworks into the air and he's smiling and laughing. Yeah, fireworks are beautiful. They can be great. But let's take this literally. The angels are like, dude, stop throwing fireworks. And he's like, oh, but they're pretty. It's like, OK, yeah, well, you get my point. I'm kind of being a dick, but let's play more.
But he was seen as a troublemaker by the elders of Heaven, for they felt his way of thinking was dangerous to the order of their world.
Yeah, the order.
So he watched as the angels
perhaps
began to expand the universe in their ways. From the dust of earth, they created Adam and Lilith, equals as the first of mankind. But despite this, Adam demanded control, and Lilith refused to submit to his will. She fled the garden. Drawn in by her fierce independence, Lucifer found her, and the two rebellious dreamers fell deeply in love. Together, they wished to share the magic of free will with humanity, offering the fruit of knowledge to Adam's new bride, Eve, who gladly accepted. But this gift came with a curse, for with this single act of disobedience, evil finally found its way into Earth. With it, a new realm of darkness and sin, and the order Heaven had worked to maintain was shattered.
So I want to pause right there. I think it's actually interesting. I don't think this show is intended to insult or deride or even get things wrong. I do think it's funny that it's like, Adam demanded Lilith. You know, adhere, you know, follow the man, but she was a fierce, independent woman. Okay. But they point out the actions undertaken by Lilith and Lucifer brought evil into the world, destroying order. Not good.
Punishment for their reckless act. Heaven cast Lucifer and his love into the dark pit he had created, never allowing him to see the good that came from humanity. Only the cruel and the wicked, ashamed, Lucifer lost his will to dream, but Lilith thrived, empowering demonkind with her voice and her songs, and as the numbers of hell grew, so did—
She's a literal demon.
...did its power. Threatened by this, Heaven made a truly heartless decision, that every year they would send down an army, an extermination, to ensure hell and its sinners could never rise against them. But Lilith's hope remained, and her dream was passed down to their precious daughter, the Princess of Hell. Don't worry, Mom. I'll make you proud.
And so basically the premise of the show is that the premise of the show is that she's trying to reform all of these sinners so that they will not be exterminated by heaven. And there's a lot there. There is a lot there in that premise that has people upset. But there are some really funny posts that I can read about this. So the first thing I want to say, when I saw a post like this and I see people talking about this new show, it's coming out, I think, tomorrow. My first response is, yeah, I don't care all that much. You want to make a show where you've got like a Satan worshiping feminist or whatever. I'm not saying that's what the show is, but you want to do that. Like, OK, fine. I'm not going to watch it. But you pop over to their YouTube channel, and certainly a lot of people do. This creator on YouTube, massively popular, with 1 billion views, 9 million subs, making cartoons that get tens of millions of views. And for the most part, I'd say it all looks legit. You know, this is a popular, prominent person who's producing content that people want to watch. You want to win? Complaining about it ain't going to do nothing for you. You got to make better content.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
That's really it. It's an influence war. Right now, you have Prime Video launching Has-Been Hotel. You also have Prime Video launching Sound of Freedom. So we have our victories. And I honestly don't even think Has-Been Hotel is all that bad. Look, it's a show that is not for kids. It is, I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. But you're allowed to like other things. You know what? I love what happens when you do stuff like this. I'll say something like, I watched the pilot. I bounced around. I didn't like sit through the whole thing. And I was kind of like, some of the jokes are cringe, not really my kind of show, not interested. But I certainly think you are allowed to like things. So no beef. If you like something I don't like, you know, go ahead. I'm not a big fan of country music. I know a lot of people like country music. I'm not going to sit here and be like, country music shouldn't be allowed. I think it was funny when you had the Daily Wire guys being like, rap isn't music. I'm like, oh, come on, dude. People are allowed to like things. You don't have to like it. I can certainly understand why there's other kinds of music you do like. But some people like rap. I think there's some good rap. I mean, take a look. You know what's a great song is Handlebars. Do you know that song? That's a rap song. And it's thought-provoking. It's interesting. And they have the BLM fist as the bad guys in the music video. But that's my point. We got to win a culture war. It means we have to be persuasive and produce good culture. Going online, and I'm not saying this is what everyone's doing. I'm just saying, in the event you don't like what they're teaching, saying Lilith is fierce and independent, is going to help demons or whatever, and you don't like that stuff, you need to make the inverse. You need to make a show just like this in the same style with similar humor that doesn't use crass cringe humor, and the bad guy is the devil. How about that? Look, Amazon Prime allowed Sound of Freedom. We have those victories. It also allows Has-Been Hotel, which is... I don't think the people behind it are secretly being like, how can we make a show that worships demons? I think they were like, wow, take a look at this YouTube show that's got 90 million hits. We should buy this and make more of it because it has 90 million hits. So the person who makes it doesn't have the same path to monetization as, say, Amazon does. Amazon says, if we buy this, we can get those 90 million people, which I honestly don't think 90 million. I'm going to say this. I don't think the number's real. I say mostly real, but I gotta be honest. 90 million people? Okay, I'm pretty sure the adult population of this country didn't watch it. You then got 600 or so million across Europe. How many of them speak English? A lot of replays. Probably people probably watched the episode more than once or maybe came back to it later. So if we're looking at like 2/3, maybe there's 60 million people who watched it. Hey man, that's massively popular. It went viral, it was watched around the world, and people watched it. I can certainly respect the show is popular. My point to you is, if you're upset watching this, and even if the show intentionally or unintentionally venerates Lucifer and Lilith, the point is, you win by building culture yourself. And we've seen those victories. I'm not a big fan of this kind of stuff. Like, me personally, I'm never going to make a show where it's like, an angel in heaven was working really hard to, like, imagine if you made the inverse of the show. An angel in heaven is convinced that even though people have been cast to hell, there still is an opportunity for them to reform and repent. It's kind of like the premise of The Good Place, but they don't want to get super religious with it. Imagine if it was an angel that did it. And the bad guy was the devil being like, you won't take sinners from me. You could make a show where it's literally Lilith and Lucifer trying to convince, and this makes more sense, the sinners to embrace free will and the reckless behaviors around it and not to give in to the desires of an angel. Here's my premise. An angel goes to God and says sinners can be reformed even after they've already gone to hell. And I know people are already saying, but this goes against the teachings. And this, my point is, if you were like, a show like this has no idea about biblical teachings or what it even means. It implies there is no God. It's just angels. It implies the angels are actually evil and authoritarian. Not, you know, but if you actually watch the pilot, it's really crass. But there is a really funny joke I want to show you. I'm fighting a sneeze right now. There's a funny joke someone made that actually says the show is really offensive, which I'll show you in a second. But my point is, what if the show was an angel goes to the highest choir of angels or whatever. Is that the seraphim? I don't know. Don't know enough about that stuff. All I did was see Dogma one time. And he says, I know that we've cast many of these sinners to hell, but I truly believe that some of them can be repented. They have an eternity to do so. And the angels are like, Lucifer, Satan, whatever, they'll never allow you to take sinners from his domain. And so the bad guy is the devil, right? You could do it that way. I'm just saying, make culture, make content. And I think it's silly that people get all worked up about this stuff. I do think it's kind of funny, to be honest. But there was one really funny post that I want to point out. I don't know if I have it pulled up. Do I have it pulled up here? Captain Criticize said, what I like most about Hell of a Boss / Has Been Hotel, Hell of a Boss is another show, is that it's secretly based by confirming that gays go to hell. Oh, jeez, dude. So actually, the show is deeply offensive. And the reason why the show is offensive is because, yeah, a component of it is that the people in hell, like, they're gay. And one of the characters in the pilot or whatever offers to engage in gay sex. And it's like, are you trying to imply that that puts them in hell? They do. I think there's something interesting here. This is separation of a generation from their Christian roots. So they understand these things. They hold these ideas. But when they express them, they come out broken. Let me give you a better example. I was listening to some music. It's listen to music. Listen to hit songs. And you'll notice they say things like dying. How about this? The Freshman. We never thought we would die for these sins. Sins, I know, goes back to ancient Rome and the idea of wrong and bad. But sins in an American context from a Christian nation has to do with sin, a Christian concept. And it is still deeply ingrained in our views of the world, the idea of committing a sin, a bad act. I know it can predate much of these ideas do predate Christianity specifically. But for a Christian nation that overwhelmingly viewed sin in the context of religion, that's my point. So you take a look at this. And when they make a show about going to hell, whether they realize it or not, whether they're trying to be offensive or not, they put gay people in hell. And the premise is, this is where people go down. Now think about what that means. The guy in hell who offers to engage in gay activities, I'm not going to read too much into that, try to keep you family friendly. What's the point? They're saying that heaven wants to go and once a year kill a bunch of people in hell. They're already dead, though, aren't they? Okay, fine, whatever. There are demons in hell, and it's overcrowded, so heaven wants to purge them. The character, Lilith's daughter, says, I can reform these people, and if they're reformed, they can go to heaven. And I'm like, so a component of people repenting to go to heaven, you see, they have a general understanding. I don't think the creators are intending to be evil or malicious or worship demons. And I think the reason they put gay people in hell is because in their worldview, they are detached from Christian moral tradition, but it's still threaded into their psyche. So, of course, they put a bunch of gay people in hell. I am not saying gay people go to hell or should. I am saying they think it. And it's kind of an interesting Freudian slip, I guess, in making a show where they would do something like that. And at the same time, making the premise be, even though it is a corruption of biblical teaching, that you can repent and go to heaven. Now, I am not a biblical scholar. I'm not going to sit here and tell you about, I don't know about this stuff. I can only tell you that I find it interesting. There is concern about a show like this. And the only thing I personally care about is, well, I do care about the fracturing of moral tradition to a great degree. I don't know enough about Abrahamic religions, and I am not Christian myself, though I do believe in God, that I don't get bothered by this. I think it's interesting. More so, I think it's fascinating that the pilot has 90 plus million views. Obviously, it's been rewatched numerous times by a lot of people. It's a musical. People really like it. I'm not saying everybody does, but a lot of people do, so much so that Amazon wanted to buy it. And what I see here that I find so interesting is we need to have Sound of Freedom. So take a look at this. When you see a show like this and you're upset and you're like, they shouldn't be making this stuff. It's a cartoon. They say it's for adults, but you know kids are going to watch it. That's why they got rid of Joe Camel, because they were like, yeah, it's for adults, but come on, it's for cartoons are for kids. Although I don't think that's necessarily true, because Family Guy is certainly not for kids. The point is, you have to ramp up the production and win a culture war through merit. That's kind of the takeaway I have from this. Don't like the content? Okay. You're not going to win through complaining about it. And again, not saying everybody is. I just see this and I'm like, man, I wish we had cartoons of this caliber competing with and beating these shows. Why couldn't the show be the inverse, where a good angel is trying to reform people in hell? And you could do adult humor and have adult comedy and do all that stuff. We got to make it. We got an opportunity. What's happened right now is Prime Video saw a massive audience and wanted to buy it. Well, while you may be complaining about Prime Video buying a show like this, Sound of Freedom is massively successful and promoted on Amazon as well. So we're winning in a lot of ways. This is one of the victories for those that don't quite understand Christianity, don't quite understand the moral traditions. And you may be thinking it is a corruption of the teachings, and it will cause problems. Some of the arguments made by people I see who are upset about it are saying that they want young people to believe biblical teachings. I'm not asserting that, by all means, if you do. The problem is, if they see a show like this, it's going to be a negative influence, and it's going to corrupt their view of what the Bible actually teaches. My response? Meritocracy. Make something better and win. I don't know. Why is it that a show like this gets so many views on YouTube? Perhaps the culture is fractured to the point where there's nothing we can do about it. So many young people just like the ideas of demons and all that stuff, and they want to embrace it and have fun with it. So it is what it is. You need to find what will be attractive to your generation, you know, and the young people who already agree with your worldview, and maybe that fracturing is only going to get worse. My final thought on this, just for everybody who's complaining about the veneration of demons, dude, there are so many shows that have already done this. I don't understand why it's like shock that Prime Video has a show like this. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is literally about her working for the devil. There's tons of shows going back decades where people are working for the devil. Spawn works for the devil. How about Ghost Rider? Like, we get it. I think, how about Etrigan? He's a demon. And it's DC Comics. There's tons of stuff like this throughout all of our media. If you want to win, you need to make stuff. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I'm reminded of that episode of Futurama where Fry downloads Lucy Liu into a robot and is forced to watch an educational film about why you shouldn't date robots. And the film talks about how if everyone started just downloading fake female personalities into robots, they'd stop reproducing and human civilization would end. And of course, we are building just such a thing. In this story from the New York Post, AI model Lexi makes $30,000 a month as a virtual girlfriend to lonely men. No, this is robo-fishing or something. This is guys who think this woman is real giving a bunch of other guys money. You know, Andrew Tate, apparently as part of the story as to how he was making money, he would have these women make profiles. And I don't know if this is true or not, but people have claimed that he would go on the woman's profile and sext with dudes so that they would spend more money. I don't know, maybe. But that's basically where we're at right now. So some guy makes an AI-generated woman, other guys pay that guy to interact with the AI-generated woman. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about the great filter, the answer to Fermi's paradox? How is it that humanity will destroy itself? Oh, there are so many ways. Of course, it could be a plague created by Chinese scientists who are experimenting with gain-of-function research. It could be nuclear weapons, which, in my opinion, are rather old and probably not the most destructive things we have on this planet right now. Maybe, just maybe, it will be rods from God, gigantic tungsten rods in orbit, dropped on the planet, wiping out every major city. Oh, boy. Or perhaps it will be a bunch of men who no longer have children because they're whacking off to pictures of fake women on the internet. Jeez. Well, at the very least, what I think is likely to happen is that evolutionary pressure will persist, and thus, the men who fall for these AI models and don't procreate will simply cease to exist, and those who are more resilient to it will survive. You know those antibacterial things you can buy, you spritz it on your hand and you clean it. It says only deals with 99.9% of bacteria or whatever. It doesn't kill everything. And if you don't thoroughly wash your hands with it, the surviving bacteria, being more resilient to the alcohol, I believe it's ethyl alcohol, reproduces, dominates, and then the next time you try to do it, it's substantially less effective. It's evolution, baby. The guys who don't find girlfriends and watch this stuff instead, they're not going to procreate. But other men will find a way, and so will other women. The other big issue here is that women are going to try and compete with these AI models, and they're going to get surgery and other things to try and look like computer-generated women. Yo, we are in for a wild ride. It's going to be nuts. Here's a story from the New York Post. If she looks too good to be true, it's because she is. A UK company has created a busty blonde AI model to communicate with lonely, lovelorn men. And she's already bringing in close to $30,000 a month. Oh, it's so tempting, isn't it? To make 30 grand a month. Think about what you could do. And you don't got to do anything. There are accounts on Instagram that have created, it's so simple. You write a script to AI generate an image of a woman and then automatically post it to Instagram periodically. Guys will hit the like button and then you insert some kind of ad, bang, money. But you know what? Stay away. This is evil. The guys that are making money off of this, tricking and duping other men, is so awful. You don't want to contribute to this. Let me show you. I'm actually really impressed with the video of it. I wonder if they have an actual human woman and they put a fake face or something. This is fake. Isn't it? You can kind of tell this one's fake because of the blurring. This is so creepy and weird. But they can make a woman do anything. A fake woman on a video will do whatever they want the woman to do, and they're going to make money from it. Man, Lexi Love, the brainchild of employees at Foxy AI, who designed the lifelike model to be a perfect girlfriend for many men with flawless features and impeccable style. Lexi is breaking barriers and changing the way we interact with AI. With the blue-eyed beauty, while the blue-eyed beauty might be fictional, the feelings she espouses in her thousands of sexed-up subscribers are very real. Since her debut on the site in June 2023, Love has created a strong emotional connection with many of her paying followers. Some subscribers are even convinced Love is an actual person, with Foxy AI fielding up to 20 marriage proposals per month. This should be illegal. I think it should actually be a crime. I think it should be a crime to create an account for a fake person, charge money for interactions with that person. If it's fraud, I believe it should be considered fraud. Men are, they think they're actually talking to him and they're not. They're talking to some guy. And that guy is baiting them into giving up money. I think this should be illegal. Or whatever, man. Maybe there are people who just like it. This fake woman. You know what? They say, yeah, but we're providing relief for these, you know, for these lonely men. They're only lonely because of the sick things that are happening in our society. Porn addiction and now AI women. Dude, you guys don't even want to know what's coming next. But I'll tell you, because you probably actually do want to know. Many of you probably already know what's coming next. You know, back in the day, the joke is there was, I think it was a Family Guy joke. Some like caveman drew a stick figure woman with big boobs
And then they called it porn. They were like, hey, man, you know, don't draw porn or whatever. I don't know if that was actually Family Guy, but that's the joke being like rudimentary. As time went on, there were drawings. Ooh, don't have those drawings, but people would do it and it would titillate them. And then, of course, photographs and video and magazines. And then you get this expansion of the porn industry throughout the 1900s. And from porn comes porn addiction. People who develop this, it's I don't know what it's called, but I suppose what they argue is the more a person watches porn, the more they have to find extreme versions of it or like more of it to get the same sensation of it. So they get addicted to it. And then what happens is it goes from men and women banging to crazy stuff like swinging from the ceiling fan. And these guys are driven to chase after eventually things that don't exist or are dangerous. You end up with really creepy, awful porn. Like I'm talking about evil, dark stuff like snuff films, but people just get off on crazy, disgusting things. And so now where we're headed is you got young men growing up in a world where by the age of 10 or 11, they have seen the most disgusting things imaginable. Their brains are broken. Regular women are not attractive to them. And so they're not going to procreate or find girlfriends. Or more importantly, outside of all the porn addiction stuff, young men growing up online don't know how to interact with people in the real world. Meet space, as we call it. And so they're shy and introverted and they don't find dates. Now they have this feeling inside of them, this longing for companionship. And along comes this woman right here. This is fake. It is AI, but it's easy. She'll tell you how much she loves you. And all you got to do is pay. There's a really great video called Capital of Conformity that I'm going to pull up again. Capital of Conformity. It was for, I want to make sure I get it right. Yeah, I love this short film. We played it on IRL a couple times. You got to go watch it. I'm going to put this in the description below because you got to watch it. It's a brilliant AI short film, 2 minutes long. Capital of Conformity by Aze Alter. What is it? Aze Alter is the name on YouTube. You guys subscribe to his channel because this is really, really good stuff. He made a sequel to it. It's great. But he's got this part in it right here. Let me play this clip for you.
Very detail. No need to cling to old photos.
I love you.
Live in the past.
Oh, dude, that is so brutal. Basically, he's saying in the capital, they'll plug you into a machine and make you remember all of your most cherished memories. And then it shows a woman swimming in a lake and she says, I love you. And you can feel the spear enter your heart. Dude. Talks like this dude nailed it. Dystopian sci-fi about how you have an app where you can swipe away and get all the automatons you want. Beautiful woman, your perfect companion. You want to know where we go next? People's brains are going to burst from their eyes, figuratively, once we get into Neuralink capabilities. You know, Elon Musk, many others talk about how we're living in a simulation. Perhaps the scariest component of this narrative is that you're already in one. You, dear viewer at home, you're already in the simulation. You're already plugged into the Neuralink. Your life is your escape. That's the terrifying reality. Now, I made the joke on Timcast IRL. For all I know, I'm some like overweight loser who can't get a job and works at Starbucks. So I plugged my brain into the Neuralink so that I get to be a famous podcaster and have lots of money. Yeah, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, whatever. Live your life. We're here on Earth. But that's it. What if you are in the simulation? What if base reality is you being bored and plugging your brain into a video game to experience this life for some reason? I mean, we play video games like GTA, right? GTA is a more sensational version of the real world. Maybe the real world's actually really boring. We live a lot longer than we think. Nothing really ever happens. So we made this world where Donald Trump is president so that at least something exciting can happen. Maybe. When Neuralink enters the public sphere, I don't know how, but once we get to the point where we can read right to the brain, meaning they can either wirelessly or plug something in to transmit signals to your brain to overwrite your natural sensory perceptions and give you experiences, it is going to destroy humanity. We're already on a dark path. I do think we will survive. As I mentioned, evolutionary pressure still exists. but understand. The moment people have the ability to plug their brains into a computer and the computer can simulate any experience, you think this AI creepy stuff is bad? We are already at the point where there's a Skyrim mod for a companion that you can talk to, and it will talk back using ChatGPT technology. We are getting to the point where you will be able to call on your phone your digital companion, and they will act like a real person. They made a movie about it. I think it was it called like She or Her or whatever? I don't remember. Now, right now, you can have a character programmed with memory in a video game, and you can talk to her. And you can say, hey, we're going to go fight a dragon. And she'll be like, you got it. I think we should grab more potions. We're running low. Blah, blah, blah. And then you'll actually interact like it's a real person. You'll be leaving work and you'll get on your phone. You'll open the app and you'll call and you'll be like, hey, what's going on right now? And it will be like talking to another a person in another reality. You, separated by the screen. You know the world doesn't really exist this person is in, but it'll feel so real. They'll be talking to you saying, you know, it rained earlier. What's it like in your world? You're talking to a computer that's just titillating your senses. It's disgusting. And it will feel so real. And then along comes the headset. Plug yourself in. You'll be transported into an avatar in that reality we've created. And the AI character, seemingly so real, will look at you like a god. Unless you program it otherwise, to make it just look at you like it's an equal, a character of that reality. And it, in this reality, you will be God. You'll be a kind of digital virtual God. I mean, especially if you're playing Skyrim because you have console commands. For those that aren't familiar, it's where you can actually change the game using codes. It's cheat codes, put it that way. It's not really cheat codes, like debugging codes, but it gives you full access to the game. You go into this reality. You have challenges. You fight. You feel everything. That's what Neuralink will bring us to if we get read and write capabilities to the brain. Why would anyone ever want to have a family ever again? Some young guy's going to say, it's too hard to actually try and court a real woman. Give me my own reality with a Neuralink and an AI, and I will live there forever. And those outside the machine, they'll carry on, I guess. But that's where we're going. What a nightmarish reality. I recommend you check out Capital of Conformity. I'll put the link in the description below and subscribe to Alter's channel for more creepy, crazy stuff he's doing. The really cool thing about the work he made, this video, Capital of Conformity, is that it uses AI, and because AI has its imperfections, it actually looks like a nightmare. It's cool. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimcastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.